The headlines this hour, Iran's leader says the Palestinian popular resistance will lead to the liberation of Palestine from the Israeli occupation. Iraq's prime minister says U.S. troops must leave as planned, stressing pro-Ba'ath elements are not friends of Iraq. And in Chile, over 200 people have died in an 8.8 magnitude earthquake that has triggered a tsunami wave.
It is 8 p.m. in Santiago, Chile, and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Now, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has moved to reassure Palestinians that their popular resistance will lead to liberation from the Israeli occupation. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said unity among Palestinian resistance groups and undying faith in God will bring about an end to the occupation. In a meeting with Palestinian leaders in Tehran, Ayatollah Khamenei has praised the Palestinian nation as the most resilient in history. Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized the importance of confronting Western propaganda on the Palestinian issue, saying the 22-day Gaza war has proven a disgrace for the U.S. and other supporters of Israel. The Iranian leader also questioned the U.N.'s inaction on the prosecution of Israeli leaders behind the Gaza war. Ayatollah Khamenei underlined the U.S. administration's slogan of change has proved a failure as a tactic to repair Washington's poor image. The Iranian leader predicted total disgrace for Israel and its supporters.
Palestinians will, quote-unquote, definitely and undoubtedly see the freedom of their land. And without a doubt, the actions of the United States over the past 60 to 70 years in support of Israel will be remembered as an instance of this country's dishonor. These were the words of leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, who praised the Palestinian nation as the most resilient when Palestinian leaders visited him Saturday morning. Leaders of 10 Palestinian political parties, from Hamas and the Islamic Jihad to Democratic and Communist parties, couldn't agree more, as those words were repeated later in the afternoon when the first round of an international conference on national and Islamic solidarity for the future of Palestine opened in Tehran.
The atrocities that Israel has committed in Gaza are known to all, and it is a great step that the judiciary branches in different Islamic countries are now following up.
And the elaborate assassination of a Hamas official last month in Dubai was not left out.
Today Israel violates the rights of Arab nations, and thanks to the government of Dubai, it has become obvious that it was a Mossad operation. This will not end simply. Meanwhile, countries around the world should keep their eyes open to see how Israel treats its own friends and know that Israel is a threat to everyone.
The gathering will review ways to achieve reconciliation among Palestinian groups, and the statement will be released at the end of the two-day event. All participants are hoping to have achieved concrete results when the meeting ends tomorrow with a speech by President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Yusumish Ahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, Dubai's police chief says most of the suspects named in the assassination of the Hamas official last month can be found in Israel. Dahi Khalfan Tamim says chief of Israel's intelligence service and its prime minister will top the international arrest warrant list if Mossad is found to be behind Mahmoud al-Mabhouz's assassination. An Emirati paper also quoted Khalfan as saying that Mossad's chief Mir Dagan should either admit to the crime or present a categorical denial of the spy agency's involvement. It's already been revealed that 13 of the 26 passports used by the named suspects belong to Israeli citizens. Earlier, Khalfan said they had DNA evidence of the identity of at least one of the killers, and it also discovered fingerprints from several of the suspects as proof of the assassins' identities. Two British police officers have arrived in Israel to investigate the use of forged passports.
The Lebanese army has arrested five new suspects linked with Israel's spy networks as part of a crackdown on espionage rings that began in April 2009. The suspects were allegedly working for two separate espionage networks in the northern and southern Lebanon.
Lebanese army security has arrested at least five more suspected spies for Israel as it presses on with a crackdown on espionage rings that began in April of 2009. Reports said military intelligence suspected that the five men, including retired security officials, were working for two separate espionage networks in northern and southern Lebanon. So far, more than 70 people have been arrested in the crackdown, with some of them policemen and security officials equipped with sophisticated surveillance and communication gear. Israel has made no public comment on the recent arrests. Lebanon and Israel remain technically in a state of war, so analysts say there are numerous Israeli spies still roaming the country.
Unfortunately, we know by experience that there are always this kind of agents, informers, not very high-key types, but who people, you know, pass on information for whatever reason. Look, this is a country which had a civil war. We had more than 20 years of occupation in South Lebanon. Finding agents in an environment like this is nothing. It's very easy.
While Israel remains deeply involved in Lebanese security, Lebanese military intelligence forces are keeping a close eye on the southern border as well as Lebanese institutions, especially after latest Israeli threats. During the summer war of 2006, Israel almost entirely exhausted its defined targets in Lebanon. Now it needs to double its efforts of updating a more advanced hit list, either through hiring agents or through increased overflights. But many analysts believe that Hezbollah's secretive telecommunications network can help protect possible targets. Israeli officials have threatened that in any future confrontation, governmental institutions will be targeted.
After the 2006 war, the Lebanese army sites became more secure through advanced methods. As Lebanon is always subject to Israeli violations and numerous Israeli spies, the security apparatus and the resistance have become more cautious about these spy rings.
A retired member of the security services was sentenced to death last week for having spied for Israel and for his role in the murder of two members of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement. Other suspects, if convicted, face life in prison with hard labor or the death penalty if found guilty of contributing to loss of life. Maryam Saleh, Press TV, Beirut.
The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki says American forces must leave the country as planned between Baghdad and Washington. In an exclusive interview with Press TV, Maliki has said that U.S. troop withdrawal is not negotiable. He has also emphasized that the security deal reached between the United States and Iraq is not renewable. The Iraqi Prime Minister lashed out at Ba'ath sympathizers who want to bring the outlawed party back into the country's politics. He said such people are not friends of Iraq.
Well, Iraq has rejected the American military commander's remark that the U.S. pullout from the country will depend on the results of the upcoming parliamentary elections.
I don't think that the decision is to be taken by a military people. This is a political decision, and it is not a unilateral decision. It is a bilateral, and it's been agreed. It's over. It's over. So talking on other issues, I don't think that it is right. And at the end, Iraq is the major decision making in this issue, and we had decided. The decision, and it is final 2011, whatever challenges.
Ali al-Dabbagh made the comment in an exclusive interview with Press TV. He said Iraq is resolved to take over security responsibilities from the U.S. Al-Dabbagh further referred to the disqualification of hundreds of former Ba'athists from the elections. He said the issue is an internal one and other countries have no right to interfere with the matter. Meanwhile, the head of Iraq's national reform movement, Ibrahim Jaafari, told Press TV that there is no sectarian motive behind the decision to ban the former Ba'athists from running in the elections. Jaafari denied the move is biased against Sunni Muslims, saying most of those disqualified from the vote are Shias.
Elsewhere, U.S. soldiers have killed a young man and wounded his mother in the Iraqi village of Kanan near the capital, Baghdad. Ahmed al-Jahiri, a tribal chief's son, was shot dead by patrolling American soldiers just outside his house. In a statement, the U.S. military has regretted the incident as a tragic mistake. The statement also says an investigation has been launched into the shooting.
Yemeni police have clashed with civilians rallying for the independence of the South. At least three protesters were injured as police offered fire in, opened fire rather, in Abyan. This despite a curfew in effect. Thousands of pro-independence protesters took to the streets across the south after the country's former president, Ali Salim al-Bayd, called for 2 days of, quote, anger in the south. The mass protests coincide with a major Yemen donors conference in Saudi Arabia and aim to send a message that southerners want independence. Southern separatists complain of discrimination following the unification of South and North Yemen in the 1990s. Yemen declared a state of emergency in the south of the country following weeks of clashes between separatists and security forces.
Former UN nuclear watchdog chief Mohammed al-Baradei says change is coming to Egypt.
You have seen how much support I got even before I set foot in Egypt here. So it showed that people are ready, are, I would say, even hungry for change. My primary goal is to create the condition for a truly democratic political system. Who will come as a president, that is really immaterial, because once you have the proper political framework, you know, it doesn't really, you are really having a system based on institutions and not an individual.
Al-Baradei, who has announced his intention to run in the election next year against President Hosni Mubarak, said change is the only way to avoid unrest in Egypt. Al-Baradei said he is going to amend the constitution to guarantee freedom and fairness before standing for election. The current constitution does not allow Al-Baradei to run in next year's election as an independent candidate. Al-Baradei is viewed as the only potential candidate able to challenge President Mubarak's almost 30-year rule. He received a hero's welcome upon his return home last week.
The death toll from Chile's devastating earthquake of 8.8 magnitude has risen to 214. The Interior Minister has described the incident as, quote, a catastrophe of immense proportions. In the capital, Santiago, many buildings collapsed while power cuts have been reported in some districts. The quake was followed by strong multiple aftershocks. This is a tsunami wave has roared across the vast Pacific Ocean after Chile's massive quake. First tsunami waves have reportedly hit the French Polynesia and Hawaii coasts. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has warned of possible widespread damage from waves as high as 3 meters. Dozens of nations stretching from New Zealand to Japan are on alert for destructive waves as thousands of people are fleeing their homes.
It is close to 2:45 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Iran's leader says the Palestinian popular resistance will lead to the liberation of Palestine from the Israeli occupation. Iraq's prime minister says U.S. troops must leave as planned, stressing pro-Ba'ath elements are not friends of Iraq. And in Chile, over 200 people have died in an 8.8 magnitude earthquake that has triggered a tsunami wave.